Nau mai, hoki mai e te iwi ki te reo irirangi Māori o te hiku o teika ko mai watoni tēnei kua Joel. Me Daphne e kawe i te wāhanga o taumatahanga ki a koutou katoa i te hunga whakarongo. Hoi nō rā, kei roto i te whare kōrero i tēnei wā ki Oni Mahelona. Kua tai mai i roto i te whare kōrero ki te kōrero e pā ana ki te pūmana wa tautono e kia nei ko kōrero Māori nō reira. Tēnā koe ki Oni, pēhiana koe i tēnei rā.
O tēnā koe. He pai I tēnei rā.
Ka pai. So Kōrero Māori has been an app that you have been developing for some time now, and you've just had a hui in Tāmaki Makaurau. Can you just give us a little bit of kōrero about what that hui was about?
Over the last 2 years we've been working on teaching machines or computers to be able to transcribe te reo Māori and speak te reo Māori. And the whole point of our hui on Friday was to reach out to Māori innovators and developers who are looking at incorporating speech technologies into their apps or their services or their businesses. And so that was the main focus of last week, was to show them currently where the technology is at for te reo Māori speech tools, where we see it going in terms of the work we're doing here at Te Hiku Media, and how we could potentially work closely with some of those early adopters to bring the technology further ahead, but also to actually put it in practice and get it out there.
So did you see much more of the media out there, like, you know, other broadcasters, other radio stations, or even Māori television there?
We had Māori TV were there to do a story, and TVNZ were there and Radio New Zealand were there, to sort of cover the hui.
Well, tēnā koe mō tērā. So we know that you and Peter Lucas, our kaiwhakahaere here at Te Hiku Media, are huge advocates for data sovereignty, especially in making sure that our deal stays with us and belongs to us, and we don't give it to, you know, people overseas like Google and things like that. So basically with Kōrero Māori, is this something that will end up being used like Google Translates, how they have all of those language tools right there? Is that something that is that what Kōrero Māori is?
I personally would advocate against that, but I don't speak on behalf of Māori. I am able to speak on behalf of the organization on some of these matters. And what we talked about on Friday with the small rōpū that was there was specifically about what you brought up and the challenges around that, because if we want the reo Māori to be ubiquitous, meaning if we want to hear it everywhere, the reality is that it has to exist in our devices. And actually, when you look at the analytics on the whānau coming to our whare kōrero, most of them have Android devices, right? So most of them are on these Google platforms. And then the next big population are on Apple devices. So that's going to be something that's – we're going to get there one day. And we need to be smart about how we share – either the data or the technology with foreign corporates. Currently, we're being approached by non-Māori-led businesses working in the space of personalized chatbots or, you know, virtual characters and things like that. And they're saying they want to incorporate te reo Māori and indigenous languages into their things. But there's, you know, they don't employ any Māori in these high-skilled jobs. They're not a Māori-led kaupapa. Some of them aren't even spelling Māori properly when they email us. So they're not really taking a conscious effort to approach us properly when asking about these technologies. So I doubt they'd have the capability or they'd have the responsibility of working with indigenous data technologies, because they don't seem to care enough to want to spell things properly.
Definitely.
How are we going to be sure that they're going to make the right decisions around our data and our technology? And so that's why we're really pushing the Māori community to start to use these technologies now, because we need to lead at this, because if we don't, non-Māori will, there is an economic opportunity here, and if Māori aren't, I guess, leading that, then a non-Māori group or organization will seize that opportunity, and we might have a scenario where non-Māori are selling te reo Māori services back to Māori. And this applies across all the indigenous languages. You know, we're seeing similar things in Hawaii happening.
I ki te tātou I tērā, and how they're fighting for their language, because basically someone's taken it and, as you said, selling it back to them, making them pay to use resources in their own native tongue. But coming back to corporate entities taking our te reo Māori, and we want to highlight our data sovereignty, and that's something that yous have strongly fought for, especially with these hui, like the Te Heku Data Summit we had here recently, and there was an amazing turnout of whānau that were there to support the kaupapa. But with kōrero Māori, it's a unique kaupapa, because not only Te Heku is a part of this, we've reached out to over 2,000 people to be on board with this kaupapa, and it's not something that one person is doing, going into things and researching things. It's a whole bunch of different people coming on board to help this kaupapa ne.
That's right. And if anything, that it's the community's data, and it's Māori data. And tiku media are just the kaitiaki of the data that, you know, that we have in our whare kōrero, or that we have in our archives here. And we look after that in a culturally appropriate way, right? We apply tikanga, you know. The things you do on the marae, they're the things we do here in the whare at Te Heku, and we apply that to the data and the technologies that we work on. And you know, even, and a lot of it makes sense even to non-Māori or non-Indigenous people, because at the end of the day, it's about privacy, it's about identity, it's about, you know, your own sort of sovereignty, if you will. And I gave a talk a few weeks ago at Code Mania, which was a conference for developers. So the demographics of developers are predominantly male, predominantly white. There were a few Māori in the audience. But the way I said it to them was that you've already taken our land. We're not going to give you our data. But just that alone was enough for them to really get the data, the position that we have on data here, which is that it is something that can be colonized and taken from us and be used in whatever way, and then be sold back to us, eh? Because even with treaty settlements, we're getting money and we're having to buy our land back, right? And so, and I think when you can, you know, we talk about data and machine learning and analytics, and all sounds a bit complicated, but if you just take it back to like the grassroots and you put it in an analogy that makes sense, like, well, it's just like taking your land, then I think, you know, people can understand it more easily. And I think people are still struggling to understand this whole data sovereignty thing, because when we hear data, we think maths and science. And yeah, but data, you know, can be anything. It can be your DNA. It can be maramataka. You know, it could be your little idioms or kōrero that you might have within your own whānau or within your own iwi.
Yeah. Kia ora, are you able to give us a bit of an update about where this current project is at and the next step that you're looking to take with this project at the moment?
Yeah, in terms of the specifics, so we have speech recognition working for Te Reo Māori. It's working at what we say a 10% word error rate. So what that means is that if you just sort of spoke Te Reo Māori to it, under certain conditions, say every 10 out of 100 words might not be the word that you said. And that, yeah, so that's what that means in terms of 10% word error rate. And in some applications, that's actually fine. So we're using these tools now to help us with transcribing our archives. And then all we need to do is go in and fix that 10% of words that are incorrect. And we can use that to then digitize our archives and make them more accessible. and where it's going. So we want to, you know, we want to improve that so that you can just speak te reo Māori and it'll understand you, say, 95% of the time. Because even humans only understand people. Well, it depends. Sometimes you don't want to understand anything, right? Or you shut your ears. But yeah, so 95%, oh, sorry, a 5% word error rate is sort of what humans are able to do in terms of transcription.
So that's actually quite good. So in the simplest way possible, can you explain to our listeners how you developed an app that was able to take te reo Māori and our kōrero and translate it into tuhituhi, reo ātuhi? So how it was able to come from talking to writing and how the whole pūmanawa tautono works.
Okay. So the
easiest way.
Yeah, right. I mean, the first part is just teaching the sounds to the computers. And that's all the, you know, your vowels and your consonants and the combinations of the vowels and the consonants, and you have your diphthongs. And so once the computer was able to recognize those sounds, like when you say te hiku, they sort of, what you can break those into sort of phonemes, so like, or like syllables if you want. Yeah, so te, hi, ku. And then each of those is broken up into a character. So te, e, te, e, he, e, k, u. And so what the computer does is it's looking for, it understands the frequencies that we create to make those sounds. So e is a certain frequency.
Okay.
It's actually a resonant in a frequency. So E would, I don't know specifically, but there might be, say, like two or three resonant frequencies in that sound.
Okay.
Yeah. Meaning, like, you know, on the keyboard or on the piano, you press a key, right? That's sort of one sound. And then you have chords, right, where you might play sort of three keys at once. And that's a chord. Well, it's kind of like that. So the sounds we're making are like a number of sort of keys or frequencies all being played at the same time.
Oh.
So the computer gets that and it knows how to say, oh yeah, that's an e, and that's a h, and that's an u. So that's the first thing that it does. And as you're speaking, it's hearing all these sounds and it's thinking, oh yeah, these are the different consonants or vowels that it is. Now the next thing it does is it uses what we call a language model. And what that's basically, it uses te reo Māori language. The way it learns te reo Māori is you feed it a lot of te reo Māori text. And so it learns, just by doing that, it'll learn all the possible words there are in te reo Māori. So if you've missed a few words, like ke oni, which isn't a Māori word, but I mean, it sounds Māori, it's got the same sounds, right? But ke oni isn't in the dictionary, hone is. So if you said ke oni to it, it won't actually transcribe it because that word is not in its dictionary. But hone is, so if you say hone, that would work. So it does that to build a dictionary.
Awesome.
And then it also builds a statistical model on what words come after other words.
Okay.
So things like te usually precedes a noun, right? Or like te hiku, te prawa, te tane, whatever. Ngā tane. And so it uses that statistical analysis to predict what words might come after another, right? And so that's where you have your grammatical structure.
It's like teaching a baby.
Yeah, and it's very much like teaching the language as well, right? You know, you learn your simple things like e haere ana ahau ki te kura. So there's like the haere, which is the verb, and then there always comes like, well, what's doing the action, right? Ahau, and then what happens with it all? Well, ki te kura, you know, to the school. And so there's a bit of structure there, right? And so the language model is learning that structure. So it's got these sounds now, te hiku or e haere ana ahau ki te hiku, and then it's got this language model. So when it hears e, there's a statistical probability that the next thing might be a verb or, you know, something like haere.
So already thinking ahead what it might be before it even happens.
Yeah, actually. And actually that's a good analogy in terms of how our brains work and actually how these machine models are built, is where it has some level of memory where it can kind of look back to see what it heard to think what it might hear. That's how they do do all the modeling. So anyway, so you apply that acoustic model where it can know the sounds and has all these characters, and then you apply a language model, and then it can figure out with, you know, sort of with a level of probability what characters are being said and then what words are being said.
Quite amazing, really, what you have done in teaching a computer how to speak Te Reo Māori. And like I said before, need to acknowledge all of those people that went in and spent a lot of hours reading.
Like, heaps, more than 2,000 people, you said. Yeah. And some of them read all 3,800 sentences.
I know.
Yeah, so that was a mean kaupapa. And we're so fortunate to have such a supportive community behind us. On that, because we would not have been able to do this without the support of the community. The biggest challenge, the technology existed to do speech recognition. The challenge was getting the data. And we're seeing this as the challenge across other Indigenous groups, is actually getting that data and getting it in a way that enables them to do the speech recognition stuff.
So is this the first time Indigenous peoples have created such a tool for Indigenous language, or is it something that other Indigenous iwi have done too?
I know other Indigenous groups are working on it in different stages. I mean, I don't know if who's first or whatever. It doesn't really matter. But I know there are. There's a few other groups working on it, but you know they have similar challenges in terms of the data, really, and also access to skilled talent within our own communities. Like I said, when you look at the demographics of software developers, they're pale and they're male and they're stale, right? And there's been this big push to get more women into tech and, you know, get more Māori and Pacifica into tech. And so when you go across the world to these Indigenous groups, there might only be a handful of people of an entire iwi who actually have the skills to do this sort of work. And so that's the other key part of what we've been pushing with Kōrero Māori is actually, you know, to get more Māori into this and to create opportunities for Māori so we can have more Māori developers and data scientists and, you know, artificial intelligent people and things like that. And so I think there was a time, and you see this in Hawaii, there's heaps of lawyers. You know, we have heaps of Hawaiian lawyers and there are heaps of Māori lawyers and that. And now we're saying, okay, we got enough lawyers. You'll need to go and study math and science or get an engineering degree because we're lacking in those areas.
Right. Definitely.
Oh no, that's awesome. So, we heard where it's currently at, and sort of like what we're looking towards. But before we do wrap up this whole kōrero, are you able to just to give our listeners a bit of a summary about what to potentially expect next
in the future?
What we're currently working on.
Yeah, well, one thing we're currently working on is providing real time feedback or pronunciation. So one thing we learned is that a lot of people really wanted to know how well they were doing in terms of pronunciation, and they want to get some sort of measurement. And when you listen to like Radio New Zealand, their kaimahi are doing a great job learning Te Reo and speaking Te Reo, but their pronunciation, I think, you know, can use a bit of work. And it's probably because they're not in an environment like in the far north where there's a lot of Te Reo Māori spoken. Mm. So you actually, you can hear how it should sound like. If you're in a place where it's not really spoken or those speaking it, you know, don't have the best of pronunciation, then that might sort of normalize the sounds. And I know one thing we often hear is tehiku as opposed to tehiku or rangatira. And you have these English sound sort of making its way into the language. So we want to be able to, in real time, like identify that through an app or whatever.
Oh, ka pai.
So then we can give some feedback and say, well, this is where you can improve. And even better, here are some examples, you know, of how it is said. And then taking that to the next level. And, you know, I know some people look at trying to bring back the native sound of Te Reo or the sound before it was sort of colonized by the English language. And I think with the research we're doing, we'd be able to look at some of our native speakers in our archives and use that to help to revitalize that native sound.
Yeah, it definitely is a great opportunity that we have here, especially with 30 years of archives here at Te Heku, and it's We're quite fortunate to have all of those kōrero. But thank you, Kia Ora, for coming on board to have kōrero with us. I think we got a little bit carried away with our kōrero, but it's a great kaupapa. And we look forward to seeing more of this kaupapa. And just as you were talking about, you know, pronunciation, and there's a lot of things that we say like kairaia and things like that. And I think we all, yeah, ongrei. Awanui.
Aipanoni.
And this tool is great for us and our whānau to learn how to speak te reo Māori and how to properly speak te reo Māori.
How to say kumra.
Kumra.
hey, I don't know, have you heard, there's this, you would have interviewed him, Maka Az videos.
Aye.
Oh yeah, he's got some great videos. He's got a really good one on kina. Because everybody says kina. I mean, even now and then I think about it, I always heard and said kina. But it's kina.
Kina.
Yeah. And anyways, it's a really good video about like kina and kina. And then at the end, some like, you know, fella from down south walks in and he's like, oh, you always want a kina?
Kina? Anyway. Well, that's something that we see day in and day out, regardless if we're Māori, Pākehā, Asian or whatever. It's something that we all do, and I think every one of us is guilty in this room of doing it. But tēnā koe anō, Kia Ora, do you have any final words for our listeners this afternoon?
I'll just go and get a degree in math and science.
Oh, where can everyone go to access kōrero Māori?
Well, the kōreromaori.com is still up. You can go and read sentences and listen to sentences. And if there are some developers out there or makers or innovators listening to this and are keen to use some of these speech tools, I would say just get in touch with us. The email is kōreromaori@tehiku.nz, and that'll come through our team. And yeah, because and we can have a go on, take it from there.
Ka pai.
Ai, nei rā te mihi atu ki a koe, hōhei whaiwā ki te kōrero ki a Māwatahi. Thank you again for taking the time out to join myself and Daphne on our show today and discuss where te reo Māori is going to today, the technology that is helping to revitalise our language, and also the importance of the data sovereignty and just keeping our data safe regardless. Whether it's maths or genealogy or whatever it is, if it's Māori, then we best think of a smart way how to look after it. But thanks again for that, Kia Ora.
Ai, tēnā koe.
Ai rei, te wino reira me haka iri ake ngā kōrero i konei. Mau tonu mai.